So our message tonight from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, Rays of Light. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1, the prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on wherever, I don't know if this is where he was or whatever that is. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, I don't know if that's his whole prayer or if the whole chapter is his prayer. That certainly is prayerful. O Lord, right? And making a request. The rest of the chapter seems more of prophetic of God showing him and revealing him more than him speaking to the Lord. But certainly this portion is a prayer. And so he's calling to the Lord, I've heard you. And from what I heard from you, and I think that's the rest of the chapter, I was afraid. It's pretty scary stuff in one sense. And so he's calling for the Lord to revive his work in the midst of these years, in the midst of these times. And for him to make himself known. And in his wrath, and again, a lot of the chapter is about his wrath is coming, as we'll see. In wrath, remember mercy. Right? So he's pleading with the Lord, you're mighty, you're all powerful, and you are judge, and you're coming to judge the earth. But in your wrath, remember mercy, as if God needs to be reminded of that. But Habakkuk has God's heart, and as we have God's heart, that will be on our hearts as well. As Moses prayed, when the Lord said, I'm going to wipe them out and make a new nation of you. Moses said, no, please don't do that. Blot my name out instead. And what would the Egyptians think if you do that? And so he was calling for mercy. And when God told Abraham, I'm going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham said, well, you know, what is it? 50 people there that are righteous. You're going to take the righteous out with the wicked. So he's pleading for in your wrath, remember mercy. And Abraham gets them all the way down to 10. Abraham thinks that's good enough. There must be at least 10 people there. Maybe if he would have realized there wasn't, he would have gone down even further. But in your wrath, remember mercy. And that's God's desire. And that's why we're still stuck here. He's still waiting for us to take the gospel to the entire world so that everyone has had an opportunity to hear and to know and to see the gospel lived out so that they can see the love of God, the mercy of God, and yet understand that there is a judgment day. So let's look at this chapter and what Habakkuk had heard and seen. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Right? God is over it all. He's almighty. And then it's almost like Deuteronomy, talking about Moses, almost like Deuteronomy, where chapter 33, verse 2, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand. Right, so the Lord coming and the Lord coming in judgment. He is mighty and he's all glorious. And he comes and he covers the heavens in his coming. And so a lot of this chapter overlaps with a lot of the symbolism we see in the book of Revelation. Lord coming with all the clouds and all the angels with him in his glory. The Lord will come with in the glory of his Father and all his angels with him. And so his glory covers the heavens. All of the heavens, from one side or the other, will be filled with his glory. And the earth will be filled with its praise in one sense. For every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, but not in surrender, but in acknowledgement that yes, he is who he says he is. Yes, he is holy. Yes, he is righteous. But like Judas throwing down the coins that were given to him, I have betrayed innocent blood, an innocent man. With acknowledgement, he bursts forth and acknowledges the truth, but not in repentance, and goes and hangs himself. And so the earth will acknowledge, but not in repentance, as he covers the heavens, comes with 10,000 of his holy ones, and in flaming fire destroys the earth, his wrath upon this earth. Flaming fire at his right hand. continuing on with Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 4. His brightness was like the light, and he had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Brightness like the light. As the lightning shineth from the east and cometh to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Brightness was like the light. This bright light coming and shining in all of his glory. No longer veiled, Yeshua no longer in humanity, but in the glory of his Father, coming with all light. So much so that the righteous even cry out and say, who can save us? And the wicked call for the rocks and the hills to fall on them and to hide them from the bright light of the Lord in shining glory. Cover us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. And rays flashing from his hand, as we saw in Deuteronomy 33. Fire, like fire coming from his hand. And now here in Habakkuk, rays flashing from his hand. What is in his hand? And it's so glorious, these flashing of light, this fire coming from his hand. He's engraved us on the palms of his hand. We, the saved, are his glory, revealing what God can do, the power of his might. Oh, it takes a lot of power to create an earth, to create a universe, to create a solar system, to create seas and trees and animals and bugs. But nothing like the power that it takes to transform a sinful heart. Change a sinner to righteous, to transform a stony heart bent on sin with enmity against God, and transform it into a servant of God, humble and submissive, surrendered to the Lord, filled with his heart and his mind and his spirit, going forth doing righteous deeds, manifesting mercy, even in judgment, balance, the power of God in his hand. At Calvary, as it says in Psalm 22, he was pierced in his hands and in his feet, prophesying of his death. His hands, his nail-pierced hands, the holes in his hands that'll be there for eternity. As a reminder, every time he reaches out his hand, every time he goes to shake a hand, every time he reaches for something, he will be reminded of you, of how he engraved your name into his hands with the piercings. So much so, when Thomas wanted to evidence, let me put my finger into the hole in his hand. How will reveal his truth, reveal that he is the one. Be evidence to me that he has been resurrected. That he sustained the wounds in his hands for those that he loves. In Zechariah it says, they will come up to him and say, where did you get those wounds in your hands? And he will say, I receive these in the house of my friends. We pierced his hands. We held him there. His love for us, his mercy upon the world, is what kept him there. Not so much the nails itself, but his love for you and me. And it's out of those hands that his light, his glory, his power shines forth. There in those hands, his power is hidden. There in the sacrifice that he made for you and me is his power hidden. There and only there. We can memorize the word of God. We can quote the word of God. We can preach the word of God left and right. But without the power of the Messiah's sacrifice, covering it all. His hands reach down from heaven to find us, to reach us, to pick us up. His hands that held him to the tree. His word without that is just empty history. It's just poetic psalms. It's just interesting stories without the power to transform hearts and lives. But when his hands are placed upon his word, his sacrificed hands, his nail-pierced hands are placed upon his word and mingled into his word, there is power. That's where the power is hidden. Where the power is revealed like rays of light flashing forth and coming forth. Like when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying for you and me and all those who would believe. And Judas came with a mob seeking him out. They said, "We're here looking for the one called Yeshua." And he said, "I am." And the glory shined forth and knocked over these strong, healthy soldiers. His glory flashed forth. Out of his hands flashes forth his light, his power, his glory, his goodness, his mercy to humanity. And even in wrath, his mercy is shown. For he died for the sins of those who have accepted him, those who will accept him, and those who haven't, and those who won't. In wrath, the wrath of God poured out. Let this cup pass from me, if possible. The wrath of God, the cup of judgment he drank for the sins of the world. And he suffered the second death, the wrath of God, becoming the curse of God for you and me. The wrath of God poured out in that he died for our sins. The wages of sin is death. And he suffered that death to receive the wrath of God poured out upon him. And yet within that death, within that judgment, his mercy is mingled. For through that death, it gives us the release and the deliverance and the liberation from sin. Taking our sins upon him, nailing them there, and burying them away in the tomb. Thus, it is in that sacrifice, in those hands, that his glory is revealed, his light shines forth, and his power is hidden. In verse 5, before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet, and he stood and measured the earth. So the plagues go out before him and come before he comes. Plagues poured out upon this earth before his coming. The pestilence and the fever going forth. And he stood and he measured the earth, as in Ezekiel, measuring, weighing the people, measuring their. Have they met the test? Have they passed the test? Have they accepted Yeshua's sacrifice in their behalf? Have they accepted him as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Have they accepted him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Have they accepted his sacrifice as the ram caught in the thicket? Have they accepted him in place of, as Abraham took the ram in place of his son, have they accepted him in place of themselves? Let him take his sacrifice. Have we met the standard? Have we measured up? Not in good deeds, not in our own self-works, not in our own self-attempts. Have we measured up by believing in what he has done for us? In accepting his death, our death in him, our death in his death, and accepting his new life in us, accepting his power manifested in our flesh, accepting his righteousness to be lived out in us. He stood and measured the earth to see who would be ready, who would manifest faith at his coming. Verse 6, he looked and startled the nations. The everlasting mountains were shaken. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is eternal. And at his coming, the mountains will shake. The islands will sink away. The mountains will fall. And even the earth will be bowed down at his presence. The earthquakes and tremors in the earth and calamities in the earth such as never been seen or experienced. The seas will roil, and the waves will crash against the earth. And there'll be panic in the earth. That is coming. The nations will be startled. The nations will cry out. And writhe their teeth in pain. Verse 7, I saw affliction and the land trembled. O Lord, you were displeased. And you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation. Revelation talks about him coming and coming with all the angels, coming on white horses and clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. All of heaven poured out. All of his angelic host leave heaven, leaving a silence in heaven as he comes to deliver us. Coming on his chariot of salvation, Yeshua. He comes and the land trembles. The earth trembles. And the wicked cry out and gnash their teeth and their tongues in pain. The Lord is displeased. And the trials and tribulations and the martyrs, the attempt to annihilate God's people, he is displeased and he rises up to judge. Verse 9, your bow is made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hand on high. So all the earth is in calamity. Mountains shaking, huge mountains. Everest shaking. And the seas overflowing. The entire earth, mountains taken and cast into the sea, the whole earth in chaos at the coming and presence of the Lord. Verse 11, the sun and the moons stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, and the shining of your glittering spear comes forth with the armor of God, with a two-edged sword to cut asunder every lie and to expose every hidden thing. His day of judgment. As when he wrote on sand and exposed the people trying to find fault with the lady caught in adultery. He said, he who has committed no sin, let him cast the first stone. And began to write in the sand. I believe writing each one of their sins, exposing them all. And each one got up from the eldest to the youngest and walked away. This time, not on sand, but in the heavens, will be exposed the sins of the world, and they will tremble. His sword will cut through the denial and the lies and the excuses. And everything will be exposed. Every sin laid bare. It'll make a difference between those who've surrendered all and accepted his sacrifice in their behalf and those who have refused. Those who've refused every opportunity of his Holy Spirit conviction and drawing them time and time again. The sun and the moon will stand still. And when Joshua went forth to battle and the sun stood still, giving more time to eliminate the wicked, when the heavens will stand still in awe of the coming of the Lord. It'll seem as if time has stopped at the coming of the Lord in his judgment upon the earth. Many wicked deeds have been done in this world. Many times we have been hurt. Many times we have been abused. Many times injustices have been done against us. Been lied to, defrauded, cheated, been cut in front of, cut down, neglected, forgotten, but God has not forgotten us. God knows every deed that's ever been done against us, and every deed that we have done, and the sins that have been confessed go before us to judgment and are destroyed and blotted out. But those that are not confessed, those that are not repented of, will be judged, will be exposed. And on that judgment day, every wrong will be made right. There will be a day of accountability. He will hold them to account in his wrath. And yet there is still mercy to those who've confessed their sins and they've gone forth ahead of time and been cleansed and removed. Verse 12, you marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. Revelation 14, it talks about the horses coming forth and trampling the winepress of God. And the blood coming up to the horses' bridles. He comes forth in his indignation, trampling over the wicked, destroying them with the brightness of his coming. Out of his hands, fire goes forth. Beams of light, rays of light go forth, shining as the sun, brighter than 10 times the sun, coming in all of his glory. And they are destroyed with the brightness of his coming. Trampled underfoot in his anger, in his wrath against those who've hurt the apple of his eye. Those who have hurt the least of these, his brethren. He comes and judges the earth, marching through the land in his anger. They will not get away with it forever. He sees it all. He records it all. Justice will come. Verse 13, you went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. Two more times here, salvation, Yeshua mentioned two more times, three times thus far. Yeshua's name exalted and brought forth and identified as the Moshiach. For your salvation with your anointed. Yeshua the Messiah, right there. Yeshua the Mashiach, right there in the heart of Habakkuk. He went forth for the salvation of your people, for if he did not cut short the judgment of this world in righteousness, all would perish. We would destroy this earth. We would destroy each other. But he cuts it short in righteousness. Wars will be decreed to go forth, thinking they are doing God's justice, to go and to destroy God's people. But God will step forth. At midnight, it seems, at the last moment, he will come forth. The last moment of Earth's history, with our backs against the Red Sea, walled in on both sides by mountains, and the Egyptian army coming down upon us. Nowhere to go, no one to help us, no self-defense. At the last moment, God will step in and ride forth for the salvation of his people. He will come back to deliver the saints and to take us the mansions that he's gone forth to prepare for us. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, for I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be also. He comes forth and delivers the saints. He takes us up to meet him in the air and to take us to the mansions he is preparing for us in the New Jerusalem, in his courtyard, in his home. For our salvation, he comes. The Anointed One comes. The King of Kings comes. The Kohen Gadol, the righteous judge, the Anointed comes. The Prophet of Prophets, the Anointed One, the Mashiach comes, crowned with the triple crown of glory. He comes in salvation, riding on a white horse, working his deliverance. Verse 13, he struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to the neck, judging the wicked through and through. From house to house, from head to toe, judging the wicked. Verse 15, you walk through the sea, the heap of great waters with your horses. My body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. He comes forth, riding through the masses. So much so, Habakkuk, seeing this, trembled. Like John in Revelation, bow down, fall down on his face. And he'd be lifted up, trembled. His lips quivering at the voice, the mighty voice of the Lord. Like the sound of many waters, like the roar of thunder. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a shofar of God, like trumpets off Mount Sinai. And the dead in Messiah will hear his voice, crying out, come forth, as he said to Lazarus. And as Lazarus came up out of the tomb, all those who've died in the Messiah, from righteous Adam and Abel, really from Abel, the first death, first righteous death, from righteous Abel to the last martyr will come forth from the graves with new bodies. Mortal will put on immortality. Corruption will put on incorruption and will come forth out of the graves at the voice of the Lord. And the angels will descend from one end of the earth to the other and gather up the saints and take us to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Follow him whithersoever he goeth, and up to the mansions he's prepared for us in the New Jerusalem at the voice of the Lord. And that same voice, which will cause rejoicing among the saints, he has not forgotten us, he has come back for us, he has remembered us as a righteous dead raised. And those that are alive and remain caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air at the voice of the Lord, calling forth our names. As he called forth, Lazarus come forth, he will call each of us. Call the righteous out of the grave, call the righteous living, gather out of the rock, out of the mountains and the hills, where we've been in hiding, out of the prison cells where we've been locked up. Gates will be busted out. As when Peter was liberated, as when Paul was liberated out of the dungeons. The chains that will hold us will break forth. Fall at our feet. As the ropes that bound Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah will be liberated and set free. At the sound of his voice, calling us forth, calling the saints to come up, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. As we see these things come to pass, have no fear. He has not forgotten us. He has remembered us. He is coming. He will come back for us. Our labor is not in vain. Verse 16, I trembled in myself that I may rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. At time of trouble, as it's spoken of in Daniel, the time of trouble such as the world has never seen before. I can't even fathom it. This world has gone through such trials, such tribulations, such horrible murders and atrocities that have taken place in this earth. The killing fields and Pol Pot and the Holocaust and barbarian tribes, the evils that have been done. The armies from ages past up till our day, going and coming up with cruel and unbelievable torture, skinning people alive, tearing them to pieces. Eaten by lions. Shot. Burned. Put upon stakes. Killed. Tortured. Starved to death. Time of trouble such as the world has never seen? Habakkuk trembled in himself at the thought of it. How could it be worse? Maybe in duration, maybe in scope, from one end to the earth to the other. The Holy Spirit will be withdrawn from this earth. And the devil will go forth as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. With no restraining power upon him. Crazy demonic humans going forth and torturing one another and plotting ways to destroy the saints. But God's hand will cover his people. We will see the pestilence from, as it says it with Psalm 91, from 10,000 will fall at our right hand and 1,000 at our other hand, but it will not come nigh thee. You will see it with your eyes, but it will not come nigh thee. God will shelter his saints. In the midst of the fire, in the midst of the flames, he will stand there with us. And he will deliver us. Our bread and our water will be sure. Might not be any more than a raven can fit in his bill, but he fed Elijah, he will feed us as well. Won't be able to buy or sell. Be ostracized, outlawed, censored. Accused, falsely accused. Yet before God, our character will remain pure. And we will be able to say, like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, we will not bow down to your statue. We will not bow down to your image. We will not bow down to your laws. We will not bow down to your decrees. Our God will deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. We will not yield. God will hold us fast. God will strengthen us with his mighty right arm, which is powerful to save. Giving us a double portion of his spirit, his latter rain power poured out upon the earth. A double portion of Elijah upon Elijah. Give us the boldness to stand before the Pharaohs, before the Nebuchadnezzars, before the Ahabs. If they call us troublers of Israel, no, we have not troubled this land. Their sins have. And God will hide us away and protect us and deliver us through that time. Trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. Be able to rest in God's presence. As Peter in the dungeon the night before his execution, fast asleep, the angel had to come and shake him and wake him up. At rest. As Daniel in the lion's den, at peace and at rest. We will rest in the day of trouble. He will see us through. As he took us out of Egypt, he will take us out of this world and deliver us at the right time, at the last moment, and set us free. Even as they're chasing us down, seeking to destroy us, when he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. He will come and he will deliver us in that day. He will come and he will deliver us in that trouble. He will come and set us free, and his glory will be revealed. And as the sheep and the tares, the sheep and the goats are separated, simultaneously he will come in his glory and separate the righteous from the wicked. As the wheat and the tares, he will come and he will separate the wheat and the tares. The wheat he will take up into his barns to the New Jerusalem, and the tares will be gathered together in bundles and destroyed with the brightness of his coming. He will invade the troops when he comes. He will trample them underfoot. He will shine forth his light and his glory like firing flame going forth. His deliverance will come. Have no fear. Manifest faith now, exercise faith now, take hold of his hand now, in the power, and receive of his power now, and go forth victorious now. Take on the devil now. Challenge the temptations and the sins and that have easily beset us, and confess them and forsake them in the power of the Lord, in the might of his glory. Through his Holy Spirit, take on the devil now. Defeat him now in the power of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. You have no right over me anymore. I am a child set free. I'm a brand plucked out of the fire. No longer yours. I am God's. No longer a slave to sin. I am now a slave to God. The old man is dead and crucified and destroyed. I'm a new creature, a new life, a new man, a new person in the Lord, with a new mind and new heart. And as was said of Yeshua, the devil was able to find no foothold in him. He should not be able to find any foothold in us either. Totally surrendered to the Lord. And then not only taking the devil on, and by God's grace defeating him and overcoming every temptation and every besetting sin, going forth and charging against the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Going forth into enemy territory and plowing down the gates and going into the devil's strongholds, into his dungeons, and setting free and liberating those that are bound therein, setting the captives free, bringing the word of God, sharing the word of God in word and in the power of the word, the written word, and in the power of the hands of the Messiah, the glory shining forth and the flame and the rays shining forth, the power of his death and his resurrection, and the power of a righteous life lived out. Going forth and liberating those held captive to sin. So that when he comes, he will find faith in the earth. Verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Fourth time, Yeshua. I rejoice in him. Rejoice in the Lord. Joy in the God who is my salvation. Though through the plagues and the pestilence and the troubles There's no more figs, and there's no more vines, and there's no more fruit. There's no more food, and won't be able to buy or sell. There'll be scarcity in the earth. There'll be no more flocks, and no more provision, and no more money, and no more herds. We have nothing. Nothing left. As Yeshua said, when you see the signs, don't go back into the house to grab anything. Flee to the hills, flee to the mountains. When we see the signs of his coming, when the mark of the beast is being spread through the land and enforced through the land, hesitate not. Hold not to anything on this earth. Let go of it all. Let go of it now. We owe nothing. We have nothing now. It's all God's on lend. And at the appropriate time, then physically let go and flee to the hills. And though there's no vine and no food, and no provision for us, God will miraculously provide for us. Whether through a raven or however he chooses, or whether like Moses on the mountain, no water and no food for 40 days twice over, God will sustain us miraculously. And we will rejoice in the Lord. Find joy in the God of our salvation. Our hope will be secure inside the veil, inside the Holy of Holies, inside his presence. Our hope will hold fast through an unspeakable time that the world has never seen. That can't be pictured, that can't be described, that can't be imagined, has never been experienced. God will take his saints through it, and we will sing a song that no one has ever sung before, that no one else can sing, except those who have gone through that experience. We'll sing that song, and we'll see him coming on the cloud. And we'll see him come forth in glory. Like Elijah praying for rain and saw a little cloud coming out of the east, we will see him coming on the cloud. And we'll take over the heavens. And the heavens will clash in the sky. And the sky will roll back like a scroll. And we who endure to the end, we'll see him coming on the clouds. Oh, what glory. What everyone from Adam and Eve on down have waited to see and have wanted to see. As the disciples on Mount of Olives, gazing up into the heavens, and the angels came down and said, "Why are you looking up?" This same Yeshua, this same one who came and ministered to you, this same one who healed the sick, the same one who raised the dead, the same one who preached the word of God, the same one who was taken and beaten and dragged through, and what they've done to in a green tree, how much more they will do in a dry tree, how much more they've done to him, how much more will they do to us? This same Yeshua that went forth for you, who paved the way for you and me with his blood-stained feet. The same Yeshua who was nailed to the tree and held up there, who had his hands pierced and his feet pierced and his side pierced, and water and blood came forth, and glory shined forth, the rays shined forth, The same Yeshua who was taken down and buried in the tomb and left there for 3 days. The same Yeshua who came forth to wave sheath offering, who came forth out of the grave, who was resurrected. You will live because he has been raised from the dead. And thus we also shall be raised from this earth. Why do you stare looking upward? This same Yeshua, this same one, will come in like manner as you've seen him go in the clouds. He will come in the clouds. He will come to take us home and raise us up to be with him in the clouds. And thus we shall ever be with the Lord. We will rejoice in the Lord and joy in the God of our salvation. And in verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. He is our strength. He is the one that gives us power to go forth. He is the one that will sustain us through that time. He is the one who will give us that endurance. He overcame by the word of the testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. He will overcome. To he that overcometh, to he that overcometh, to he that overcometh, 7 times in Revelation. To he that overcometh will receive a new name. Will receive the glory of the Lord. Grab a hold of his strength. Be said in that day that 10 people of the nations will grab a hold of one Jew. Say, let us partake of your name. Let us take hold of your strength. That one Jew is Yeshua. Grab a hold of him. He is our strength. He is our song. He is our strong tower that the righteous run into and find deliverance in. The Lord is our strength. He'll make our feet like deer's feet. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of those who go and proclaim good news. Beautiful feet. Not smelly, stinky feet. Beautiful feet. Taking forth the gospel. Covered in the gospel. The shoes of the gospel. Running forth. Going forth. We will run and not be weary. We will not and walk and not grow faint. We'll ride on eagle's wings, going forth, hastening to and fro, to one side of the earth to the other, taking the gospel to every corner of the earth. Like deer's feet running on the hills, running forth, seeking whom they might save. Taking the gospel to the darkest places, to those who don't know, to those who've never heard. How will they hear unless someone is sent? Unless someone goes? Unless someone is called, God has called us. God has chosen us. God has sent us forth. God has given us a mission. Go to every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every people. And the power of the Lord will be upon you. Go forth and immerse them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Ruach HaKodesh, go forth God's message will be proclaimed with a shout, with a trumpet, sounding of the third angel to every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every people group, every language, every tongue shall hear. God will send us forth in righteousness and in holiness. For let him take hold of our feet and let him compel us forward to reach the lost. And when this gospel is preached in all the world, then the end will come. He's waiting on us to take it forth seriously and wholly and wholeheartedly. So as we prepare to pray, you want to take God's word seriously and accept his glory, accept his power, accept the rays shining forth out of his hand, accept his forgiveness, accept his mercy and his wrath. Confess any sin, anything that's still on the record, anything that is still there, any known sin, surrender it now. Any habit, any thought, any motive, anything between you and God, surrender it now. Any wrong spoken word, any evil thought, surrender it. Let it go before us to judgment and be destroyed. Let God's wrath upon it, let it be placed upon his shoulders, upon his back. Upon his blood-stained brow, let him carry the weight to Calvary for you. If you want to receive of his strength, receive of his glory, receive of his power, to have victory over sin, the power of his might, to have his spirit indwelling in you, giving you a love for God and a love for others. And when we pray, ask for God's filling. Give you a tremble at the thought of the last day events. The things that will come upon this earth, have no fear. Surrender the fears to the Lord. He will see us through. He's seen everyone else through. He's seen Elijah through. He's seen the children of Israel through. He saw Moses through. He saw Daniel through. Each and every one. Jeremiah. He's seen us all through the trials and the struggles of this earth. He's seen the disciples through. Paul through, even in martyrdom, he will see us through. He'll hold us fast. He'll give us the ability not to yield, not to give in, not to surrender. His strength will be our strength. Lay a hold of his strength. Grab a hold of his garment. Take on his name. Hold fast to him. Given us a measure of faith. We need more faith, ask for faith. So give us faith and see us through that time. If you want the boldness and the feet of a deer to go forth and to take the gospel, if you want beautiful feet to go forth, running to and fro throughout the earth, even to your neighbor, even to your family, even to those that you come in contact with everywhere and anywhere. At a moment when we pray, ask God to give you his spirit overflowing, that it flows out, that it comes forth in mercy and in truth. Any of those areas apply to you, or maybe something else God revealed to you, spoke to you about? Let's pray to Him. Come before His throne of grace. We thank You, Lord, for Your glory and Your goodness. We're thankful that in Your wrath there is mercy. We're thankful that even in judgment there is love. We're thankful for Your pre-forgiveness upon us. Thank You for Your sacrifice in our behalf. Thank You for taking our judgment upon Yourself. Thank You, Yeshua, for taking our sins onto the tree and destroying them there. Thank You for taking the nails into Your hands and the thorns into Your brow, the nails through Your feet for us, the most beautiful feet in all the universe, in all of history. Thank You for bearing our weight and our sins. Thank You, Your light shining forth and Your glory shining forth, Your rays coming forth. Shine upon us. Thank You for the examples of the past. Give us faith for the present and faith for the future. And whether we have here or not, give us faith to praise You regardless, no matter what. As Job, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give us Your words and Your faith. In Yeshua's holy name. Amen.